Hello.
Oh, welcome to the show, Jared.
Hey, man. Thank you. Thank you. I wasn't sure if I was doing it right.
I know. That was the first time it worked.
Ah, cool. Yeah, all I was right. Like, I better put it in the browser. And then it went and said, do you want to open an app? And I was like, all right, here we go.
No, we got you on, man. All right. So, I mean, I discovered you from a man, Mr. Rick Jarman. He put
yes, sir.
Me up to you.
Yeah, he's a neat guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my guy right there. I haven't been really listening to too many podcasts lately, but I'm definitely on the Alpha, what it's called?
Oh, the Alpha Code, the stuff I was doing?
Yes, the Alpha Code, man. I've been listening to it lately. It's hard for me to take in a lot of new information, but
right.
Your information you've been putting out lately is definitely challenging.
Yeah, I appreciate that. My wife says it's babbling.
Yeah.
But
all right, so give us a little rundown. Just tell the people a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I guess I guess I call myself an investor/entrepreneur. I own a bunch of single family houses.
Right.
I'm an active stock trader. I do pretty well at that as well. Just all around investor. I mean, I did all of that doing various entrepreneurial things. I worked a part-time job, but I also started various businesses along the way.
Right.
And just pushed in a whole bunch of money in a very short period of time into investments.
All right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and then since then, I've been just writing. I've written some books about it, talk about it, and share it with people.
And what's your thing about the number seven?
The number seven?
Yeah.
What's that?
What's so important about the number seven?
Number seven. Did I say something about the number seven?
Well,
you threw me off with that.
No. Look, I worked at the post office for 5 years. I just turned in my I turned in my 2 weeks notice probably about back in May, but I came to the conclusion that it takes 7 years to master anything you're trying to do. And I think I heard you say it.
Right.
I realized, and I was like, it's so true. 5 years, if you like, you know what I mean? You stick to the gun.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You're probably talking about it's that number seems to play out in everything, like doubling your money and learning a new skill. But if you're really aggressive and really want it, you can shorten it 5 years, 3 years, you know?
Right.
But it's still time.
Yes.
Still time for sure.
But I definitely, because I've been studying like real estate for like 5 years. It's 5 years. And it took me for the first year, I really, in the mail truck, I was delivering mail. I was just delivering mail. But the 4 years after that, I started listening to like podcasts the entire for 8 hours a day about real estate. So it literally took me 4 years to get out of that mail truck and like to be, you know, like safe almost. Well, I feel safe at least. Okay.
It's a different mindset, right? Like you got to program yourself.
Yeah, and that's the key. Like, people keep thinking you can do this and do that. And I don't think, like, I think the new president, they're talking about giving everybody $1,000 a month. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
And I got friends, they think if they get $1,000 a month, everything will be okay.
Yeah, they'd be good, huh? You know, it's funny. When I got onto this idea, I was 29 years old when I had, like, my moment where I realized, wow, if you were smart with money, you could set yourself up.
Right.
And I used originally when I first started it, my thought was if I could get $2,000 a month, like passively through some way of investing, I'd be good.
Right.
And I remember thinking that was a huge number, you know,
it sounded like it until you get it.
Yeah. Then you realize, wow, I still got to get up.
Yeah.
It's insane enough.
and then it's hard to explain it until somebody actually be in them shoes.
Yeah. I did a video a while back where I said, some of the hardest times I ever had financially and struggle, I was a millionaire. See, me touching the goose wasn't an option. So like borrowing or selling things, that's just not an option for me.
Right.
So I got to survive on what I'm making. And so I was like had assets and stuff coming in, but I'm broke. I'm paycheck to pay, you know, we're trying to figure it out. And we had that business, we ended up closing it, and it just never occurred to me that I would sell these things or there was an easy way. And if I wouldn't have had that philosophy, and me and my wife kind of bumped heads on that for a minute. Like, why are we struggling? We shouldn't, you know, if I wouldn't have done that, then once all that cleared, I would have, I think back, man, I could have spent a lot of money, you know?
Right. And I seen that video did, and me and my friend, mm-hmm. we talked about it, and it made sense to me because, like, my grandma, she when she passed away, she had six figures in the bank. But, you know, right. for our birthday, she used to be like, how old are you? We'd be like, 13. And she'd give us $13.
There you go.
And it's like, you wouldn't think, I mean, that's the reason I guess she gained the wealth is because
right.
of being that way, not touching, you say, the goose egg, not touching.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And even now, like, I've been thinking it forward, like, my, you know, me and the wife will talk, and I'm only 49, but, you know, you start trying to, I try to think ahead on everything. I try to have 7-10 year plans all the time. So if I buy an investment today, I'm thinking 7, 10, 15 years from now.
Right.
I'm not thinking, you know, and so I'm already trying to plan, like, if I was to kind of semi-retire, what would I, I'm trying to make a roll up out of it. Like, I'm trying to figure out, how do I roll out of my house into like a fiveplex where I live in one and it's like in a vacation area or something. Like, I don't know. I'm just always trying to think like that strategically.
Yeah. And I get it. And you, I mean, from the outside looking in, it's like, you're where we're trying to get to, and
right.
you're still pushing yourself to that next level.
Oh dude, every day I wake up, I am so broke. Like, that's what I think.
Right.
Like, how in the hell am I even going to survive today? Like thinking that in my mind, even though that's not true, you know?
Yeah. And I showed my wife the video where you was, you was mowing the yard, and
yeah.
you showed the tenant drive the Mercedes Benz.
Right.
And it was so like, cause you read these books, but you don't believe it until it happened in real life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, looking at it, it's like, you own the house, you're mm-hmm. mowing the yard, but he's driving the Benz. It's
he's driving the Benz.
I don't know what.
Yeah, it's funny, man. That kid always makes me laugh, too. And, his mom is the one that said, hey, can we just – because normally my tenants mow the yard.
Right.
And his mom has some money. They're doctors. She's head of a hospital. And she just goes, hey, is there any way I could pay – you know, someone can handle the yard. And I just threw it out. I said, well, $100 a month, I'll worry about it. I was kind of kidding.
Right.
It's $100. It's a very small yard. And she's like, yeah, no problem. Just add it to it.
Oh my God.
So I was like, bet. And my wife's like, well, we'll call someone. I was like, no, we won't. What are you talking about?
Right.
It's $100 to mow that yard. I'm going to go mow it.
Right.
Like, takes me 20 minutes.
All right. All right, we'll go back up a little bit. We jump right. into it. But all right, where were you raised up at?
Early on, single mom, very poor. I remember being as a kid, we jump a lot of times when rent was due. My mom was a waitress,
right?
Until maybe 8 or 9. I was in a trailer park in Arkansas, and then my mom met who was became my stepdad. Kind of brought a little stability,
mm-hmm.
But you know, not much, and lived that way till. Just lower working class, lived in a trailer court, 200 other trailers, kids like me,
right.
Went to the army and
so
to escape poverty. I mean, that was kind of my, you know, stepdad's thing. Hey, this is a route you could do, you know, go to the army. Right.
And that's what a lot of people, I guess, run at age was, if you're not going to college, go to the army.
Right. Didn't even occur to me to borrow money to go to college.
Like, right. Oh, so you didn't go to college at all?
No. No, wow. I tried when I got out. I tried to go. I went for like a few semesters. I was 27. I'd come from a combat zone. It just wasn't for me.
All right. Do you remember your high school GPA?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't good. Honestly, like I've always been a fairly smart guy. I'm not no genius by any stretch of imagination, but I can remember things.
Right.
And so I would just study just enough to get a C or B.
Wow. Okay. So coming out of high school, what would your friends or family say was like your best quality? Like, what is Gerald known for? Like,
I've always done where I was always trying to think of something to make money at an early age. It could have been selling things I shouldn't have been selling, or aluminum can. I mean, it could be anything, you know.
Right.
And then I would work on weekends. I was always just trying to make money. But I would spend it, you know. I didn't have any concept of why I was doing it. I was just always doing it.
Okay.
Even in the army, I was like, quote, the entrepreneur in our unit.
Right.
Like, I would get other units to give us things in exchange for things. And then I go to this, you know, like, I was always trying to do something like that.
So that's what I was getting to. So mm-hmm. it was in you. It was
right.
just already in you.
I think so. I hear Gary Vee talk about that. Like, sometimes entrepreneurs are born.
Right.
I always watch that show, American Greed, and you see these, you're like, God, the guy's already rich. Why is he stealing?
Yeah.
Like, and I always tell my wife, he can't help it. Like, It's in him. Like, he's born that way.
Yeah. That is crazy. So, all right, you graduate high school, you go to the Army.
Right.
Was your version of your life how it is right now? Did you vision that you'd be living like this?
No. I had this idea that I wanted to have my own business.
Right.
My dad had always told me that if you owned a good business, you'd be good. What that looked like, I didn't know. And then I had a moment in the Army where I met a guy, and he was like a sergeant. He was young. I looked on his table, and he had a check, and it was a statement from a bank, and it was like $100,000+.
Wow.
And I was like, is that money? I mean, it took me a second. And he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he had saved it. He'd been in the Army like 5 years.
Wow.
And he was going to take it and buy a business when he got out. And it hit me. I'd always wanted a business, but I didn't have no $100,000.
So that was like your first moment where you seen like,
right.
It's kind of surreal because it kind of looked like TV money.
Right. And then I realized, wow, here's a dude who has the same dream, but he's fixing to do something about it. And then that's why I was like, man, I got to start saving some money. And then it kind of puts you onto another thing, you know?
Right. And I was thinking about it. I was on a mail route one day, and this guy, he tracked me down. He was like, man, I've been looking for you. He was like, do you have a mail for this address? I'm like, yeah. He said, I got my ID. So I handed him the piece of mail once he showed me his ID. He said, man, you know what's in here? I said, no. He said, it's a six-figure check. You just made my day. I was like, and I mean, he had a little business. I don't even know what his business was. It was on the main street. But it was like, it's surreal that six figures could be in this check. Like, I could quit my job if I had this piece of paper right now.
Right, and there's people doing that. It's crazy. Right.
Yeah. All right, so what was your first investment after you learning? All right, so after you got out the Army, that's when you made your first investment?
Yeah, I got out, and it was all – a couple of things happened in a short period of time. I was working part-time as a prison guard because it was a job you could get that paid pretty decent if you had been in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only 2 days a week, 20 hours. So I would do 2 10-hour shifts, and I was off all week.
Wow.
And it was like $1,000. And my wife was working, her girlfriend at the time was working full-time. And I came up with – I told her, hey, we need to get a – I knew we needed money. And right. I said, listen, you make pretty good money. We don't – let me – here. You take this check. Everything I make, let's save that. And I wasn't thinking why. We just started going down that road. And then about that time, I meet a guy who turned me on to the idea of real estate. And that just clicked immediately. As a kid, I used to look at Entrepreneur Magazine, and I remember vending machines. And I used to think, man, I don't want a job. I want to own a bunch of vending machines.
Yeah.
And so when he said real estate and we started talking, I was like, that's like the ultimate vending machine.
Right.
That was where my mind went, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. And I had had $15,000 saved from mowing yards, and I was doing some email marketing. This is in 99, now 2000. All that stuff still kind of new. And I had $15,000 saved, and he showed me the numbers on a piece of paper, like how on a house, put 20% down, you know, you want to try to rent it for as close to 1% as possible. Like, he just sat down and broke down the numbers.
Right.
And I left, I got his number, and it was actually my wife's best friend from third grade. They had stayed in touch their whole life. It was her husband.
Oh, okay.
He was a little older than me.
Right.
And he had made some money, and I told him I had $25,000. $15,000. I didn't know what to do. He says, man, you should be in real estate. And that's how that started. I came home, and within a month and a half, we had bought two houses.
Dang.
Like, I just went at it. I went broke. And I remember my wife was like, we don't have any money. And I'm like, I know.
But you have assets.
But I had assets. That's what I was showing her.
Because I had a property come up, and I'm thinking about bidding on it. And I told the guy, I won't have no money left. He's like, but you have a good asset. And it's like,
right. Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like Monopoly. Would I rather have the cash or the asset?
Right. It took me a while to convince her of that. Because I just had to break this down for her. Listen, we still have the 15 grand. It's just now in 2x4s and drywall. It's still there. We just can't touch it. That's just going to give it to us a little bit at a time.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Between, like, it seemed like you and your wife are both on the same page with budgeting money, which is hard to find. So are y'all both like big savers?
Yeah. And what It's funny. We don't fight about money. We have a very, I don't want to say traditional relationship, but like, I don't tell her what to buy for food.
Right.
Like, I don't have any input in that, in anything that goes on, like what kind of toilet, like none of that stuff is my purpose. And so same when it came to money and investing, she'd say, what are we doing? I'd say, this is what we're doing. She'd say, cool.
Okay. I get it. So she
would trust me to make the right decision, you know?
And I'm in that same situation with me and my wife. And right. I kind of get like, because, well, how can I say it? If anything's going on, she really have no idea. Like, we buy houses. I said, because I'm a real estate agent. Mm, so I send the contract. She don't even read it. She just signed it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. For sure. That's how, and I meet couples. Sometimes I'm like, wait, who's the CEO? Like, because you guys are bumping heads and someone should be able to say, no, this is what we're doing.
Right.
And whether it's you or her, someone, otherwise, I don't know. To me, it's just work for us to be on the, like, she's been committed to this. Now, every once in a while, she'll raise her hand and say, look, we need to buy this for us. Like, because I'll, like, tape my own house and buy a rental house, you know? So they'll be like, I know I need to fix that siding, but this deal just came up.
Right.
I'll do that and make us broke with assets. I've done it many. But as we've gotten older, she's kind of made me stop doing that. Like, I had to get her a new car, that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, I'm driving a 19-year-old truck.
I know. I see it, the famous white truck, right?
Right. And yeah. And I, not that I can't buy one. It's just I'm like, damn, I could go buy this or that. And I will. I told her I'm waiting to do it like Rick. Rick bought himself a Land Rover.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, $100,000 car. But prior to that, he didn't do that stuff. You know, he waited.
Right.
So I told her, I'm doing his move, man. I'm pushing it out, and then I'm writing checks for $100,000 cars.
And you know, that's the part about, like you said, don't touch the goose egg. Like, recently, my wife's car, it went out. So I'm driving down to dealerships, man, and I didn't realize how much fees they tag on to when you purchase a car.
Right.
And we sitting there, I'm taking cash money, and they still add fees to it. I'm like, this is why people can't make it. You can't make it. So you get there, you buy a car and you underwater as soon as you buy it almost.
Mm-hmm. So, well, and you think about it, you're a young couple. Right. I mean, I talk to young couples all the time. They both got a car payment. They both got some student loans probably, and they're renting an apartment. Like, everything about that scenario is going below zero. There's no equity in the house. There's no equity in the cars, right? Like, you can go nowhere but broke, and they don't see it or notice it or feel it, or you know.
Yeah, and that's what this new American Dream podcast is about, because I think more people I've seen on news that they are realizing that experiences are better than having things. So people are building these small houses or buying smaller houses so they can save more, you know.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And that we'll see. And that was one of the things that me and my wife got right, to be honest. We didn't have car payments early on.
Right.
We just worked up for a car. Like, she has a nice car, and I always drove a hoopty. It's kind of how we did it.
Right.
And then our own home, when we bought our home, we could afford it on her salary, just hers. So it was like a $65,000 house.
Right.
And, you know, and then I immediately, as soon as I made some money, I paid it off. So I had no mortgage, no car payments, got the student, all that stuff was gone. So I was just spending my money on investments. And then that money's coming back at you, you know? Now, I made a mistake in my journey, I think, along the way. I got to like 12 houses and I kind of got a little freaked out just about debt, all right. You know, out of the blue. And I paid off all my houses.
Wow.
I just went crazy. Like, every dollar, I was just banging different notes. Like, I would just put $8,000 a month on a note.
And, but how were you just working and making that money to put on there, or
right? So like, I've never like my real estate money,
right?
I've never spent it. So I've owned houses for 18 years. I've always made my money like either mowing or various entrepreneur things I was doing, and we would pay our bills with that, and all the investment money I would just put back in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So. And I've done this with equity outs. Like, I'll go in and do an equity out. I take the whole, like, the other while back, they gave me, like, I did a 40,000 exit.
Right.
I took the whole 40,000 and put it in my SEP IRA. So then I take it off my taxes.
You say your SEP IRA. All right. That's why I wanted to get you on the podcast, too, because most people I meet, they're either 100% stock or 100% real estate. I mean, on Sunday mornings, you was like, I think this past Sunday, you was going back and forth. And when I see them screens come up with all the lines and numbers and right. graphs, I kind of just be like, oh, my God, I don't get it, you know? Mm-hmm. But
Yeah, I've just had an attraction. I mean, some guys are like football or deer hunting.
Right.
I like games of with money, you know, like poker and that. For me, when I see stocks, I just see like a poker game that you never lose, you never get kicked out of. And I just began to study it. So, I would read the Wall Street Journal. I started looking. And I just kind of went down these rabbit holes, you know.
Right. So, the stock. All right. For a beginner stock person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know if you're buying a property, you invest in either for appreciation or right. cash flow. With right. stock, what's your time limit? Like, does this money, can I touch it within 6 months or a year? Like, what's...
You could, depending on how you structure it. That's the thing. You just got to learn about it. So you could just have what's called a regular brokerage account. And it's basically a checking account. You have a debit card. You can write checks on it. The only difference is in this checking account, you can buy stock ownerships. So you could literally take money and buy shares of AT&T. So when you log into your checking, it'll show your balance and then it'll show how much of that is invested, you know?
Okay.
And you could click a button and be out. Like, it's that fast.
That fast.
That fast. Yeah. Now, and obviously, you don't grow well if you're doing that.
Right. So that's right. what I was trying to get to. For the beginner, say
mm-hmm.
I got $10,000 and I don't need it for, what, a year or 5 years? Like, the mm-hmm. money I'm putting in stock, should you say you don't need that money for a certain period of time so that you can leave it in there?
Yeah, and the less you know, probably the longer you need to leave it. I mean, it'd be different between me putting in $10,000 and, say, you putting in $10,000.
Right.
Because I'm going to probably target a particular sector. I'm going to find something that I think is beaten up, that is probably way undervalued, you know, so I'm gonna be looking at it different.
Right.
I don't look at it like I'm gonna put this in here and it's just somewhere in the market, and then in a year I'm gonna get it out. I'm looking at it, I want to put it in, I want it to grow, and I want it to pay me money in the meantime.
Right
So like today I had a nice little win in oil stocks. I don't know if you saw, there was a drone strike in Saudi Arabia.
I did see you post that, but it's just, right. Yeah.
Well, the last 3 weeks, I've been building up oil stock positions. Well, they got too cheap. Right. Like, you can look at, and I try to equate it to real estate. Like, you as a realtor, you know when a house is too cheap, right? Like, you can look at it and go, this is way too cheap.
Yeah, undervalued, yeah.
Yeah, I can do the same thing with stocks. You can look at a football team and go, no, Patriots are going to blow these dudes out.
Right.
Like, it's just obvious. Doesn't mean it always works. Just means there's obvious situations. And so I just look for those. And when I find those in sectors, I then buy the best companies in that sector. So if I find a neighborhood where it's cheap, I buy the best house in the neighborhood.
Right.
Okay. That's kind of how I equate it.
Yeah.
And I just put a chunk of money in there, you know, $5,000-$10,000. And I expect in the next 5 years, that money's going to double. Plus it's going to pay me every month to own the shares. So Some of the stuff I was buying last week pays 12% returns, so it's 1% a month.
And do you actually get that money that month?
Yes, deposited right in your checking account.
Oh, wow.
So I collect like $2,700 a month in dividends and interest payments from companies.
Dang.
So then I have that chunk of money to, like, it's like being in a casino where they just keep giving you the chips.
Right.
And then I get to decide what to do with it. I could bring those chips home, but I push it right back in. So I'm like, oh, these are undervalued. Let's put it over here.
Is there any one book that you
The thing. No, there's not one. And people ask me that all the time. What book should I read? I'm like, well, I've got 550.
Right. Real estate, you can point out a couple books and it'll kind of give you the gist for jab, you know?
Yeah. And I guess it would be like, if someone said that to you in real estate, your next question would be, well, what are you trying to do? Do you want to live in it? Do you want to flip it? Do you want to, right?
Exactly, yes.
That's the same question I would ask a guy who wants to invest in stocks. I'm like, what's the purpose? Are you trying to retire with this money? Do you want to trade it? Are you trying to get cash returns? Because there's some stuff that'll pay you 15, 20%.
Wow.
But it's real volatile, so you can't need the money next month, you know?
Okay.
But here's the thing. If it is volatile, what if we could buy it when it's really cheap?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm always trying to buy it when it's on sale. So, like, right now I've been buying cigarette stocks. Well, they're being sued because of Juul.
Right. So you have to pay attention to the news to know what stock.
Right. And those ones you see those charts on, those are companies that I've been following. that I'm putting money in. And then I use those charts to time when to do it. So Boeing, you remember when Boeing had airplanes falling out of the sky?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so I'm following that for 9 months buy opportunity. And it fell from $420 to $300. And that's what I was waiting on. Because you can tell if you do this for a long time when it gets to a bottom.
Right.
Those charts will tell me. And then I push a little money. And if I'm wrong, it goes a little lower. I push a little more. If I'm right, I'm going to make money.
You make money.
And I'm only doing it with companies that pay me every month to own them.
Okay.
So I get paid to play.
So you're not doing the like the stock where you just invest in a whole bunch of companies?
No. Like, yeah, a lot of people will tell you this, you know, just put it all in an index fund and diversify between. Yeah, put it in the S&P and diversify it with bonds and blah, blah, blah. I don't do all that. So I do it a little untraditional. I do some of that. Like in my son's account, he's in the S&P 500. And when he puts money in, that's what I put it in.
Right.
You know, but he's got a 15-year time horizon. I also like to buy things I understand. Like I understand real estate. So I own a bunch of real estate REIT stocks that are REITs that are invested in real estate.
Right.
Yeah. It's like some of them own apartment buildings. Some of them own like college stuff, you know, for college rentals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll watch the market. And when those things are really cheap, I buy them.
Wow. Okay. So, all right. What's your idea of, real estate property? What does the ideal deal look like?
For me, 2-1. So I want a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. If you look at my portfolio, almost every one of them are 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 800 to 1,000 square feet.
And what's the rents?
Right now we're getting 850. I'm fixing the new one I'm finishing. I'm going to try to push it to 9, see if I can get it.
So you said 2-bedroom, 1-bath,
yep.
Under 1,000 feet.
Yep.
And okay. And what's the price range for these?
Oh, for buying them, hopefully under 120.
So you would buy a house for 100,000.
It's cheaper than that, the better. But
and rent out for
$100,000. Yeah, I would definitely try to get that for sure. I mean, those numbers work in my area. I bought them. I mean, I have a rule. If it gives me $100 a month cash flow, it's a possible deal. If I look at it and I think, man, this is a nice neighborhood. It's going to appreciate. Right. This is a, you know, like I like the house. There's not a lot of work to do, but there's only $100 on the bone. I still.
Wow. That's skinny dipping around here. Where I'm at.
Right. I might do it. Just if it was, you know, if I get in there though, and it's not you know, there's a lot of repairs. Right. It's not a good neighborhood. They're going to have to give me a little more, you know, I got to get it better.
And what's the typical, is it a minimum range neighborhood you go to?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to do working just class neighborhoods. Right. Right. Just work kind of that I grew up in.
Right.
I mean, not ghetto, but I mean, but to be honest, I have two or three houses that are on the edge of what would be called the ghetto, and they're nice. They're nice houses and they rent solid, but you know, you take a ride and you're in the ghetto. Now,
where I live in Florida, in a small town, but the rents are skyrocketing above what the prices is, but the price, the price is low, but the rent is high.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's perfect storm.
But I've been coming, the appraiser is not meeting the price. That's happened the last couple of deals.
Okay. So yeah, the buyers are running into finance
because,
problems.
Like right now I was trying to buy a duplex for, 100,000, and the rents would be 1,400 a month, 700 each side, right? So that's 100,000. You're making 1,400 a month, but the appraiser came back at 80,000.
Wow. What do they want you to do? Just put a bigger down payment down,
which is 20 grand.
Yeah. I've had to do that in the past. You got to really like the property though. But if you come feel strong about those,
and that's what I was talking to a couple other people. The appreciation is, I don't expect it to appreciate, but the cash flow is what I was looking at.
Right. My best deal ever, and talk to Rick and he has something that'll blow your mind. My best deal ever, the house was so bad. Okay. It's three blocks from a 4-year university. Like you can walk. So this is premium rent. If you can get the house working, the guy had tried to he'd watched TV and was trying to do the flip thing and had blown through his credit cards. He was underwater, needed out. I paid him. He wanted right. $42,000, and it's on a quarter acre, like a normal in the city lot. And it's the house is so bad, the bank thinks it's unrepairable. And so they were only willing to finance me on the property. On the land, which came out to like 25 and no, they valued the land. That was it. They valued the land at 41 and gave the house like a $5,000 value. And because it was land, you have to put down more than, you know, I ended up putting a huge down payment to get it is what ended up happening. But 6 months later, the house appraised at 145.
And I noticed you do a lot of the work yourself. It worked,
yeah.
But for that house, evidently you had help, right?
Yeah, on that one, I brought in people to help me. Now, I try to do everything myself, but I use plumbers. I use electricians. But as far as drywall, painting, framing, porches, I try to, you know,
and did
do
you
it
learn,
myself.
Like, just basically trial and error?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, just being cheap. Like, I'd buy a deal. Like, when I went out, the first deal I bought, I was all in. Like, I literally had $12. And the only reason I got proof of the loan, my dad let me keep some money in my checking it, pretend like it was mine. And then after the deal, I gave it back to him. Ray, I was broke. And I'm like, paint? And the guy's like, yeah, it'll be a $2,200 quote. I'm like, what? I was like, yeah, no. I went to Walmart and bought some paint. And that's how it started. I'm on YouTube. Like, how do you paint? Right. I didn't know any of that stuff.
So what percentage of deals do you think you get under contract, but it end up failing?
Oh, you know, most of them I get under contract I've gotten. I haven't lost a, because I haven't bought tons like Rick and have. You know, I've only lost a couple under contract. One was a termite issue. And you know, and I don't beat them up too much about, like, I don't retrade. I don't, unless it's something severe. It became so competitive in my area that often I would bid $1,000 over asking. And that would eliminate most of the other bidders, you know. And then I would do my inspection. And then if there was any pushback. But that kept me from like the house had to work on paper before I even drove over there. Yeah, as long as it worked on paper, cool. Now let's see how bad it is. Remember, I'm doing the work myself, so I don't factor in like repair costs like other people. Because I don't have a job. Yeah, so that kind of gives me a little advantage sometimes.
Okay, so.
Now, the gurus will push back on that and say, well, it's time. And I'm like, but
yeah, that's what I was saying, because I see you more in the yard. And a lot of gurus say, well, you're making, $20 an hour when you could be finding another deal or something.
Right. Yeah, that's what I tell them. Well, then I guess you don't sleep either then. I mean, I don't know. You can carry that. I think people say that shit because they're lazy. Right. That's what I think, because I don't buy for a second. He's like, what is he doing when he's sitting at home? He's watching Game of Thrones like I am. Like, what is he else? Is he? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of time in the day. And even me work. I think there's just time to get things done, man.
Right. And how are you doing?
And working hard doesn't hurt you.
Right. How are you doing your financing if you're not working now?
Yeah, luckily I've been using the same bank, so I use a small local bank.
Right.
They only have two branches, and I basically, let's say I find a house, as long as it's under $130,000-$140,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I file a new tax return, I run up there and give it to them. Once a year, I print off all my stock holdings. I let them see it.
Right.
If you got $500,000 in stocks and then you just let the local bank see it and say, hey, I'm not spending this. This is collateral. Right. They're happy to loan you money.
Okay. Get it.
Right. And so I use those. I tell a lot of investors that a lot of times, you know, if you're doing just real estate, you can get cash poor.
Right.
And if, you know, if you got this pile of money over here that's paying you dividends, you can put it up as collateral or use it for getting better rates.
Right. So you saying when you see a house for $100,000, are you putting 20% down, or they just give you the whole $100,000?
Yeah. No, I usually put it down. Okay. We just haven't had, you know, my neighborhood is pretty strong prices. We never had it. The whole 20 years I've been investing here, the very first house I bought, I paid $35,000 for it.
Right.
But that was 18 years ago, 19 years ago. And today that same house would be worth 150, 140.
Jeez, yeah.
You know, it's just been a steady climb.
Right.
In my own mind, I do a little debate, like how to best, you know, do I wait for, because I've been considering, do I do a big, like, do I sell all my properties to one guy and get one big check?
Right. You say sell them all and get one big check?
Yeah. Just write you a check for a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
And then you could take that and go buy a $5 million apartment building or something, you know?
Yeah, that's – oh, okay. And do you see yourself trying to move up from single family to apartment?
I go around and around. I would like to. My wife's not comfortable with – she thinks it's adult daycare. and she'd rather just keep buying houses, you know, one after another. But we're at a point now where I told her, look, I'm going to have to hire an employee.
Right.
Like, I can't personally maintain, you know, 40 houses. Like, it's not humanly possible.
And you don't use a property management?
No, we manage ourselves.
Manage yourself. Okay.
Yeah, so we have basically my house. The compound is here to – we get up and – I tell them all the time, our main job is to protect our investments.
Right.
That's priority number one every morning. Collect rent, collect money from our assets, and protect them. So if something we need money, it ain't from these ads. We got to go get money doing something else. Something, you know, if the rents don't cover it. So we, I mean, I don't collect tons, but I collect, almost $15,000 a month in rent.
Right.
And then, you know, I about $2,700 a month in dividends, and, you know, just passive collection that's coming into the house. You know,
do your friends and family know that, like, your net worth, mm-hmm. or you don't really?
Yeah, I post it on Instagram, talk about it. Most of them just unfollow you when you start doing that kind of stuff.
I know it seems kind of weird, like, of your success,
right?
They might look at you different, right.
Sure. Yeah, well, yeah, I get that all the time. Well, I've been lucky. I'm like, you realize I've been doing it for 20 years, right? What do you mean lucky? Like, how did I get lucky? And they're like, well, you timed it right. I'm like, I buy one a year. How is that timing?
Right.
Like, because I haven't bought, I don't have a ton of how I steadily buy them.
Right.
You know, no secret to it. I just find them on sale and save up a bunch of money and buy it.
Okay. So
it wasn't my full-time income for a long time, and I'd had a business. And so we had about 3 or 4 years where that's kind of where I was talking about in the video, where everything for me was just, we were just getting by. And until we got things stabilized.
Dude. What do you feel like your purpose is in life right now?
You know, I was just talking about this on my podcast. I always think everyone has the same purpose, and it's to solve problems for other people. In one way or another, whatever it is you're called to do or doing, it's to solve somebody else's
problem. I know, and
problem.
I heard you say that, and I thought about it.
Right.
It's a deep question.
Because that's where the money comes from.
Right.
Right. Because all the money that we want is in the books of other people.
Right.
Whether it be our renters or our, right, whoever's buying a house from you.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm just trying to think. So what problem? Because I see the things you do, I don't see you charging for it.
No.
But I see a lot of
books.
Charge for.
Yeah. I have books that I give them away free.
Right.
Like, if you want it's free, because then all it costs me is an email.
Right.
You want the physical, you want to send me a bunch of emails about it. Like, all of a sudden now we're in a time drain, then it's the book's $45.
Gotcha.
So here's what's cool on that. Like, I just give it away, like Gary Vee talks about, right?
Right.
Well, a lot of people read the digital and go, man, I really like this. Could you send me a physical? I'd appreciate it.
Wow.
Sure. Happy to.
Right.
So, you know, you get 2 or 3 sales a day. All of a sudden, you got $120 coming in every day from book sales.
From book sales. And
from a book you've been giving away.
And you said the grammar might not be correct in your book. Did you not have an editor?
I just don't use them. I don't use editors, or I don't use lawyers or accountants or anybody.
Right. I mean, I liked that because I can understand it. I remember what I used to do when I worked at the post office. You know, you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to fill out the time, how long you're going to take to do your route, right? So some days I couldn't find an ink pen, so I use a crayon or pencil, whatever I can find.
Right.
It would make the supervisor so mad. They were like, redo it. You need a black ink pen. And I'm like, it still say the same thing, you know? Like,
right.
To me, it doesn't matter. Like, long as you get the point, that's what I'm trying to say.
Right. Drives my wife crazy because I'll do real estate that way. They're like, what are the numbers? I'm like, they're close enough. Well, how much is it? I don't know. I didn't add it up, but it's close enough. Like, I don't need that kind of precision to get through life. For me, I don't edit videos. I'll go through and read it once, try to catch all the obvious stuff, and then I ship it.
Right.
And then they'll be like, well, what about fix? I'm like, nope, I'm on to the next one. Like, I'm going to do the next book, and then, you know, they don't like it, they don't like it. It's free.
Right. What's a typical day look like for you? You say you get up, and you at the point where you say you just want to protect your assets. So
right.
Most people, I mean, we're trying to, a lot of
people. Well, I'm trying to grow them. I'm trying to grow them, but priority number one is not to lose what you have.
Yeah.
Rule number one is not money.
Right.
Right. That's right off of Warren Buffett, you know?
Not lose money. Got it.
Not lose money. Because if you don't lose money, then you can be around long enough to make money.
Right. So what does a typical day look like for you just on like a Tuesday?
So I get up around, like, I even pulled my son out of school. He does online school.
Wow. How old is your son?
16.
And he's not in school no more. See that coming from you because it's like, he's not going to learn what he can learn by being around you more.
Exactly. Exactly. And he does, he's an Instagrammer. So he does this little thing on that. And
right.
He's making some money. I get up around 6:30.
Right.
I don't use an alarm clock. Just when I wake up, that's usually when. And then first thing I'm checking the stock market. I'll commentate on Instagram a little bit about it. And we make sure there's nobody, you know, check the rental houses because the numbers come into us, make sure there's no problems with houses. But I'm usually working on it. Like right now I'm doing a remodel. So everything kind of revolves around that.
Oh, on that house for the time.
Right. So priority one is getting this house up. And so we have a board in my office that shows all the projects that are going on so we can stay on some sort of timeline.
Right.
My wife takes most of the calls on that. She does all the contracts and rent collections and dealing with contractors and all that.
Right.
I do all the materials and actual repairs, but she does all the picking the colors and the paints and what's going to go where.
Sound like you're ready for an HGTV show.
Right. I'm like, what color do you, because to me, there's only four colors, you know?
Right.
But she's like, well, this is a Latin satin something or another. Yeah, okay. It looks white.
Yeah.
It's like, so I let her do all that. And I try to do all the building. And then I do a lot of writing. I've got several books. And to be honest, I spend 30 minutes a day to an hour a day on Instagram.
That's it?
Yeah, maybe a little more. I mean, I answer every single DM. And some days I may have 50 of them. And then some days, you know, 10, right?
Right. It seemed like you, because, like, I mean, I know, like, Gary Vee, I remember when I first discovered him, I'm like, he can't have a family, because, like, he's just going, like, he put out so much content.
Right.
It's like, when do you know what I mean? Yep. But, I mean.
Well, when I do videos, I thought of the video when I hit click on the camera. I'm not planning these.
Dang. So it's always
fine. And they're not scripted. There's no editing. I watch it back and go, it's either good or bad. And if it's good, I keep it. If it's bad, I delete it.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't plan it. I probably would do better if I did.
No, I mean, me, like, Jarman, I like to see the mistakes, or I like to see the natural, because it showed us, like, what you're doing, it make it seem like it's possible. Like, I mean, Grant Cardone, I mean, it's possible, but I mean, not everybody's going to raise up $100 million to go buy all this stuff, you know? So when you.
Right. And
I
like making fun of Grant. But he's fun, but he's awesome, right? But he's just fun.
Like,
fun
some people
too.
Just want to have 10 houses,
$10,000
coming in a month, and then they'll be happy, you know? And
right.
It seemed more reasonable for the average working class person.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
And most of them, that's all I'm trying to tell them, is just start doing some things. And because most of them, the questions they ask me are so high level that I don't even understand what you're asking. Or you know what I mean? It's just a ridiculous question. You know, should I do a corporation or an LLC? And I'm like, do it for what? And they're like, for my real estate. I'm like, how much do you have? None.
Right.
Why are you worried about that? Like, buy a house. Yeah, they're worried about things that don't even make sense, you know? Right. And it's a weird, to me, it's a weird conversation. I get that a lot in stocks because I'm trying to teach people how I trade, how I look for value and what I do. And I get the right. same question every time. Which stock should I buy? I'm like, that's not the question, bro. Because then how are you going to know what I'm selling and doing? Like, you don't know. I'm trying to show you how to do it.
All right.
So, you know, I mean, the stocks are in your house. What are you drinking? What are you driving? Right. What do you eat? Like, it's all around you.
So
that's the money flow. That's what I talk about. Like, the money flow, the houses, yeah. Everything's around you, right?
Dang. So do you think if you started over and became 20 years old, you'd be a millionaire in this lifetime if you had to start over?
Yeah, I think I think I could do it faster. I always wonder about that. I think there's a problem with, I don't want to say a problem. There is such a thing as luck. And, you know, if you just get, you can just, some people don't believe in luck. I believe in luck. But I also believe that if you play a lot of hands, you get better chance of having a blackjack, right? Like, the more you do, the better chance you have of getting lucky. And I've had several where I got lucky. Like, I bid on a house and I was the first bid and they just took it. Or the last one I bought, I was out jogging and they put the sign in just as I was jogging by. And I was like, stopped. And I've always wanted the house. And I said, I'll take it. How much you asking? They told me, I said, I'll give you $1,000 more than asking. And they literally went like that and boom, I got the house.
Dang, that's crazy. Cause I'm thinking like that luck, mm-hmm. It was last year. I did my first flip, but I bid on the house and it wasn't that many people there. So I won the bid and it was easy. I mean, I won it.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I got lucky.
You got lucky, right?
Because like, I mean, now I don't want to do a deal unless I make that same amount, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I'm comparing every flip. Like, I literally bought it,
mm-hmm.
cut some trees down. I only think I sprayed air freshener inside and then I put a for sale sign up and it was gone like 2 months later. Wow. You know? And it's like every deal.
That's beautiful.
It means good deal because I made money. But at the same time, every time I go look at a house, I'm like, dang, I did this for this one. And it's comparing it, but
right.
I got to get over that.
And I think if you got to accept there's going to be luck. And so when you have it, do the right thing.
Take advantage.
Like, be smart. Like, don't blow it. Like, you come into 20 grand, get rid of it. Invest it. Don't buy a new thing for the TV. Don't go on vacation. Don't buy something for the kid. Invest it. And then be broke again. And I just kept doing that, man, just all the time. Just constantly going
broke. And that's what I got from this episode, too. It's like, at one time, it was fun to look at money in my account. But now, mm-hmm. Once you realize you get older, you need the money you look in your account is not making nothing for you. It's just sitting there, basically. So you got to get rid of that fear.
And I added it up the other day. I've only put in, me personally, of my money, like working, saving, I've only put in like $200,000 into real estate.
Dang.
Over 20 years, right? That's over 18 years. That's not a lot of money, right? That's not a lot of money. And it's worth millions of dollars. It takes $14,000 a month in rent collection. You know what I mean? Like, from such a small sum, but it was spread out. So it was just this consistency. And then that leverage effect of once you have 10 houses, your net worth is going up by, you know, 60, 70,000, 100,000 a year without you doing anything.
Do you do flips along the way or you mostly just do the rent them?
Yeah, I just fix them up, rent them. I'll take X out, which is kind of the equivalent to a flip, you know? Like if there's some money, something there and we need it or want it or whatever, I'll do that. I've got a few loans now. It's a few, how I got them revolving. They're on 5-year arms and I kind of staggered them. And I was showing my wife, I says, look, every 2 years, one of these is going to come open and we're just going to bang it for like 20, 30 grand. We're just going to keep doing it on these three loans. We'll just keep revolving it. Some people, you know, she's, I have to kind of go over that stuff a lot in her mind to get her to see that it's not bad debt.
Good
that
debt.
That's good debt, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you balance the good debt, you can have too much of good debt.
Do you feel like you took out too many loans to buy the houses, you say, at one point?
No. At one point, yeah. Well, I also, I don't know, you know, life changes. You get older.
Right.
I just all of a sudden got really freaked out one day. Like, I just, it hit me that I could blow out. Like, I was sitting there thinking one day, like, I could blow out. I saw a scenario in my mind where if this happened, this happened, and this happened, I would have a real problem, you know? And it occurred to me, what could I do to never have that problem? I said, well, if I had 10 houses completely paid for, they're all worth 150 grand each, I can't blow out.
Right.
Like I'm guaranteed to be a million forever. And I just freaked out and paid off all these loans, which was nice. The cash flow went up, but
I got an older guy in the community. He got a lot of houses. He said, George, put them on 15-year mortgages. In 15 years, you'll be done. But in my mind, I'm like, I need the cash flow now, you know?
Right. That's the dilemma when you play that. Yeah. You know?
So are you doing most of yours on 30 years?
Yeah. So I've been doing anywhere from 20 to 30. I try to push them out. My bank pushes back sometimes. So it's really depend on, because they got to balance their books, I guess, is the way it works. And they're always trying to get me to do shorter ones. I'm always kind of pushing back. We usually come in the middle. The last one I did was a 25, which is a weird number. So
I get it.
Yeah. And you know, I just recently started doing like some equity outs. Like I said, I've got 12 now completely paid for. And then I got the others have notes on them. And I think what I'm going to start doing is the ones that already have notes on them, I'm going to rotate those, like pull equity out. I'm going to leave that group of the ones that are paid off so I can, you know, have some cash flow and just kind of do both worlds, you know?
Dang. Yeah. You're leveraging everything, I see. That's what it is.
Right. Trying to just leverage it and balancing it, right? Trying to be smart about it.
Right.
That's why a lot of the stocks I buy are super boring. They're not like crypto or Netflix, they're like AT&T.
Right.
Because I don't want to blow out. I just want money coming in.
All right. We're coming down to the end. Last five questions. All right. This is like quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite business book, money book, anyone?
Ooh, man. If I had to pick one, I think The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. If you've never read it,
right. I haven't read that.
It's a good one to that or Sell or Be Sold. Both, all of his are great, right?
Right.
If you're wanting to raise your thinking level
to
a higher level, he's definitely a guy to tap into for that.
Okay.
If that's your problem, right? If you need to think bigger, I think 10X is a great book. Is that the question?
Yeah, that's one business book. And that's, I mean, a lot of people, I realize we think what we see. So,
right.
That book, I mean, you think around, like, I try to hang around people who are at least trying to go where I'm trying to go.
Right.
All right.
I know a lot of people like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's one of their favorite books.
Yeah. That's like,
that was a good one.
The cookie cutter. Get started.
Yeah. That's like the Bible of this.
Yeah. <It's> like... All right. If you could spend a day with a mentor, who would it be besides Grant Cardone?
Ooh. Wow. Man, I'd probably like to go hang out with Rick.
Oh, Rick Jarvis?
That guy's doing it. Yeah.
Oh, man. We got
to
vote.
Even though I know him and talk to him all the time, you know, I wouldn't mind going sitting in his operation and watching them do their thing.
Man, he probably got a fat bill for me because I'd be in my daily life. I hit a stump and I shoot him a message on the thing.
Right.
And he'll send me with the voice back. Well, George, you know need to do this right here.
Me and him talk that way a lot, too. He's a good dude.
Yeah. He'd be helping me out. Yeah. I'd be coming across situations. It's like, he hadn't seen it all because he's been doing it, you know, for forever. So I'm like, no.
Yeah, he's definitely be of a, you know, just a guy that who's done it. He would be up there. I got another friend that's done real well in assisted living homes.
Wow.
He's kind of a mentor of mine. He's a little older than me. He's the guy that turned me on to real estate.
Okay.
He got rich. He's probably worth like $30 million.
Jeez.
Lives in a mansion. I mean, the whole thing, he pulled it off. He flipped assisted living homes. So there's like 60, 70 senior citizens living in them.
Yeah.
He builds it from scratch, takes it, puts in the medical staff, puts in the thing, gets it all going, and then sells it to like a big company.
Yeah. That's his
big
lane.
Money stuff.
Yeah. That's big.
Right.
Okay, favorite
house. And what's funny, he's the guy that took time to show me on a napkin how to do houses, you know?
And did you know he was that?
No, I didn't know he was had those kind of aspirations, you know? And it's funny because now he had all these bigger ideas, but he's sitting there showing me how to get $200 a month on a house, you know? Like it was, if you think, I always think it's cool. I've always thanked him for that, you know?
Dang. Has he seen what you've done now, though?
Yeah, yeah, he thinks it's awesome, and I'm like, no, what you're doing is awesome. He goes, man, I got 100 employees. You work at home alone.
Yeah,
he's like, you got it figured out. That's what he's always telling me. I don't know if that's true, but he makes me feel good about it.
All right, favorite hobbies outside of this working?
Jogging. I'm a runner, so I like to run.
Okay. Are you in like the city or the country?
Here I guess most people call this country. Okay. Outside of city limits. I live on 3 acres.
Oh yeah, I like that rural area.
Right, yeah, rural area, I guess what we call it.
All right. So your idea of the new American dream. The old American dream is I would be still working at the post office, then I would retire at 65 and probably die at 68. But what is your version of the new American dream? This is for your son.
Right, I'll tell you what I tell him. I mean, I tell him to do exactly find something that you do better than most people that comes really easy to you and do that to make as much money as you can and then try to invest your goals. If you could invest half all the money you make, you'll be very rich. Now, obviously, half could be hard for some people.
Right.
Anything less than that. But if you did invest half, within 10 years, you'll be rich.
Dang. That was simple, said it. It is
right.
Like you said, what'd you say? Do what you do.
Do something that comes really easy to you.
Right.
And you that's usually what's going to make you the most money the fastest, right?
Right.
Whatever that is.
And I feel like the whole world, like, do you ever go places like, and then you realize the people working there don't like their job?
Yeah, all the time.
So I wish the world would have everybody doing what they really wanted to do. Like, if you really want to make burgers, you know, you work there. And I feel like everybody would be more happy and you'll get better results. Because if I go to a food place and the person making my food and they, like, got an attitude or they just don't really want to be there, it make my food taste nasty sometimes. I'm like, it's bad.
You know, The Science of Getting Rich says that. It's an old book. It's one of my favorite books. It says in there that if you want a better job, become great at the job you don't like. Like, I mean, the universe is just going to open more opportunities for a person that's too good at what they do.
Dang. Yeah.
Right. And which is funny. Grant Cardone used to say that. Remember, he embraced what he hated.
So, yeah, you're right. He did say that.
And he became a master at it. I think if you become a master, you know, anything, you're going to get more offers. Like you said, people are going to recognize your good attitude, your work, and not just customers, managers. Right.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, this is good. All right, man. Great. I mean,
all right.
Great. Gerald, where can you find, let people know where they can find you at and your information.
Yeah, Instagram is the perfect place. I like that platform. And I'm at Full Auto, like the gun, FullAuto11.
Full Auto 11.
I like to post videos. Yeah, I got free books. I'm literally 95% of everything I do is free.
Yeah.
And the only reason it would be paid is if you asked me to ship it to you. That'd be it.
Right. And then you got some podcasts, cool, man. The Science of Getting Rich.
Yeah, I do a little podcast. I've recently been doing YouTube. I don't know if I'll keep doing that or not.
Right.
We'll see.
You probably do a YouTube video showing you doing the work at these houses, like from the beginning to how it looks.
Yeah, you know? But the problem is you got to edit all that. You know, my son has over 150,000 followers on YouTube.
On YouTube? For real?
Yeah, he's starting to make some money and stuff. But, man, I see all the work he does and the editing and all that. I was like, dude, I can't do that.
He got 150,000 subscribers?
Yeah, and he's got over 500,000 on Instagram.
Jeez. Oh, yeah, he's doing it, man.
Yeah, he's working it full time. Yeah, he's working it full time. He has an agent and stuff. He gets paid to post clothes. He's like a model.
Oh, I see why he don't go to school. Yeah.
Right, yeah. He's doing pretty good. We talk about investing. I got him in the S&P 500.
Okay. That's what's up.
Yeah.
All right, people. Yeah. You can catch Gerald on Instagram, FullAuto11. Hey, man, I appreciate it for coming on. We got it done, and we stayed under 1 hour.
Yes, sir. All right, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right.